All right, everybody, and welcome to another WrestleCast, which of course means that Kyle Starks is here.
Woo!
How are you, Kyle?
A star step with my fingers and like the peace sign. It looks pretty cool if you guys can see it. I dare say it's a strut. I'd say it's a strut.
Yeah, I'm like keep going to my Twitter to make sure Ric Flair's all right. I hope he is.
Yeah.
I've been avoiding him.
Let's start off depressing. Let's keep
Yeah, going. No. It's even worse if he dies before I put this up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, those guys don't live forever.
No, they've taken a lot of hard shots. And
you've done a lot of hard shots.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. Oh, Ric Flair's rep says surgery was a success. We can be happy.
Cool. Ooh, happiness.
It said it's a success, but he's still in really bad shape. So, And no one knows. They haven't said what's wrong. Like, that's never a good stuff. Something bad happened to that dude all at once.
Yeah, probably.
God bless him. You know, here's like Ric Flair is like one of those dudes. If we did a Mount Rushmore of wrestling, Ric Flair is guaranteed on there, right? He's like. I don't know. I think we could argue about 2, 3, and 4. But Ric Flair is going on the goddamn Mount Rushmore of wrestling.
Absolutely. Like, no question. Yes.
A terrible dad. Just a real piece of shit. Like, I mean, that's like that's part of it. Like, oh man, that's awful because you don't hear about anything bad happening to anybody. I don't. No matter who they are, even in these delicate, tumultuous times that we're in, I don't want anyone to keel over. But it's like, man, sorry, Rick. Next.
but it's that idea that he had to choose between a family and a career, and which one had the one may have personally hurt 3 people, but then he could always look at it as I've entertained and helped so many more.
Yeah, but do you remember how he stole like the NWA belt? He was like holding the NWA belt at Hostage at one point in time, and I mean like he's just across the board kind of a piece of shit, right? I mean.
Maybe
like, this huge debt he had. Like he's like, listen, guys. Hey, my 17 children and my wife, whom I love. I love you so much. So listen, I got to wrestle for a living. That means I'm on the road. Cool. That guy. What's Charlotte's real name?
Ashley.
Daddy's gonna be gone for a while, but it's okay because he's making us a lot of money. Hold on, the phone's ringing. It's the IRS. Apparently, we owe them hundreds of thousands of dollars. Come on, bud. But don't die, because seriously, you're on guarantee. Number maybe like I feel like it's a tough. I mean, don't at me. But who's the greatest of all time? It's Ric Flair.
I agree.
Yeah.
He was flawless. There's not one thing he wasn't good at. He's one of the best technical wrestlers of all time. One of the best technical promos of all time. Got heat. Period. And like he's flawless. He had a perfect career. He should have stopped. He should never have done TNA.
Right, he should have stopped. Yeah,
I love you. HBK match is like the greatest retire match
ever.
Would have been the greatest retirement match of all time.
I agree.
You can't argue with that guy's career, man. And that run where he like the thing where he couldn't lose or they were gonna fire him that he did for like 6 months. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
He was great, man.
And that's like at the end, like they made him wrestle HBK, who's not gonna lose. Like that's the whole thing. Like HBK is like I'm never gonna lose. At WrestleMania or wherever it was. Was that SummerSlam?
It was at Mania.
Yeah, like the thing is like HBK never loses at Mania, so it was this great like it's a double edged sword for Ric Flair. And for both of them, right? Like HBK will not do the WrestleMania. That's the one place where he's not gonna go easy on you. And Ric Flair to not be retired has to win. So like the greatest of all time has to against again, I don't know if HBK is definitely on the Mount Rushmore. I feel like modern stuff gets a little weird. But it's like that's dude, and this is going to lead into the rest of the night from Kyle Starks. Like that's a great narrative. That should have been the end of one of the greatest careers of all time. Even after that, I don't feel like he really embarrassed himself. Some of that Charlotte stuff was just the shitty, the weird dad ballet shit he was doing is just bad narrative stuff that WWE's done for the last 10 years. But I don't think it was the worst. But yeah, I mean that dude's one of the greatest of all time. I hope he gets better. But also let's. Even check. Like, I love Jerry Lawler. He's, like, one of my favorites of all time, but like, if he was on fire, I'd have to think about it for a second, you know?
So, my only problem with the whole Shawn Michaels thing, and I feel like The Undertaker should have been the one to retire him because he never lost at WrestleMania until Lesnar and then Reigns. Because I just looked it up, and Shawn Michaels' WrestleMania record is 6-11. He's not exactly the showstopper.
Yeah, that would have been, but I think like they had like, but like they're like friends, like they came from. I mean, I saw both of those guys wrestle here in Evansville before they. I mean, Ric Flair has always been Ric Flair, but when Shawn Michaels was just like the Midnight Rockers doing the regional circuit, fellas. But like those dudes are old friends, so it makes a little more sense. But I think Undertaker, I mean, he's kind of like Ric Flair's WWE run. The first one was, I think about something, like, you know, they put like all the belts on him like right away, which I think is another, like, it shows how great of a wrestler Ric Flair was, that even though he was the face of the enemy to Vince McMahon, he came in and they couldn't not put the championship on him. Like, yeah. you can't not put it on him. He's better than everybody else.
Except Buddy Rogers, right?
Except Buddy Rogers. Who's the guy that, I can't even think of his name, the WWE guy who was champ for like 17 years?
Bruno Sammartino?
Yeah, Bruno, yeah. You never beat Bruno.
See, also, my only problem with that run was that they should have given him one last championship, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree, but I think, in my opinion, a good narrative that like people will remember is as good as a title run. Because he won at WrestleMania, he won Royal Rumble, and then he won at Mania, and he didn't have the belt very long for that first run. It's like, but the thing was, like, to me, it's like, oh, he got the belt. Like, I don't remember much about it. I don't remember much about that. I don't remember much about anything. But I remember everything leading up to that HBK match, because it was so well done across the board. Who was GM then? Does anyone know way better than me who shit like that?
Oh, man.
Like, it wasn't Big Johnny. It would have been like...
During the
retirement? That
would have been like, what, 92, 93?
Oh, the original one?
Yeah.
Jack Tynan,
it might have been Russo. It might have been... not Russo. It might have been Bischoff.
Wait, are you talking about the retirement run?
Yeah, that was
Bischoff era, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, you gotta have, like, good, like, it was well done, man. It's good luck, though. I mean, like, get out there, Rick. Like, no one wants to see the great pass. You got, like, seven more matches in you, so. Yeah. Like, Terry Funk will never stop.
Oh, man, I don't know how he keeps going.
You can't make him. Man, I was just at this house show that was, like, an hour away, and it was, like, you know, they had, like, some, boy, we're gonna bring in Rikishi. Guys, Rikishi can't wrestle anymore, just so you know. Like, there's a lot, like Tracy Smothers was there. Tracy Smothers, I'm going to Google right now. I don't know how old Tracy Smothers is.
He's got to be, like, 70, right?
He's 54. There's no way that he's the same age. Him and Rikishi are the same age. There's no way. There's no way. This man is... Dude, a strong win, Tracy's mother. Like, we're like, there's no way he takes a bump in this match. There's no way. He took one.
Yeah.
And that's it. And, like, a full match, right? But every act he does, every stick he does, every offense he does is, like, it's so smart, and it's so calculated, and it's so built in a way to get heat out of the crowd. Like, those dudes who have been doing it forever are so good at their job. Crime Time were there, and Crime Time, by the way, looked great. And Crime Time, JTG, who is like the smallest guy in WWE for all those years, is the biggest guy you will ever meet in your life. So Shad is like a literal giant, right? And those dudes drip charisma. They came out, and if I wasn't in Northern Kentucky, it would have gotten a better heat, probably. You see those guys, man, this is why they're in the WWE, because they drip charisma, and they're huge, and they look great. Tracy's mother is the same thing, man. Like, don't ever take your eyes off guys like that. I come to my Rikishi, who's, you know, huge, right? Like, just like, he's a big dude. His foot is the size of my body. That's how big he is. And like, you could see, like, dude, he just physically, like, he's not, and he just physically can't do it. And Tracy's mother can't do it, but Tracy's mother has definitely wrestled a bear at least twice in his career too. So I tell my friend, it's like, you know, like. These guys, like, Tracy's mother gets to do this forever because he's, like, a jump shooter in basketball. He's not dunking. He's not jumping. You know what I mean? Like, he stayed on the ground his entire career. And the same thing with Ric Flair. Like, Ric Flair would go off that top rope once, never land on a human being, like, always land safe. Like, those guys who don't do anything can just do it forever. And it's awesome. And so props to Ric Flair. Like, I don't think him wrestling until he was however old he was embarrassing. I think he looked great even at the end. And there's always like the, well, he's smarter than you and dirtier. Like, that's just smart. Like, it's just how smart like those old guys are. The old guys, I mean the guys who've been doing it a very long time. I don't mean old physically, literally old.
Was Smothers, you said he was doing the FBI gimmick, right?
Yeah, which I've seen Tracy Smothers many, many times live. I don't know why that is. I guess like he's cheap is my guess. And it's the first time I saw Guido, and Guido looks old, but he could move around a little bit, but it looked like he like put his like tights together like right before, like he forgot his tights and had to build them. And like we're pretty sure like a testicle is gonna pop out at some point in time. Did not happen, thankfully. But he had like the biggest knee brace I've ever seen on a human. So it was a bunch of like, hey, these guys are real cheap, and then they get there and you're like, hey, these guys can't wrestle. So it was supposed to be Crime Time versus FBI, which is dope. I'm gonna tell you, because Tracy Smothers, if you get a chance to see him, is the best. He's a goddamn joy. I thought that'd be good. No, it was a 4-on-2 match, and one of the tag teams had already wrestled that night because regional wrestling. It's like, as soon as they say like, no, we're gonna make this a 4-on-2 match, you're like, oh, those guys can't fucking wrestle. Like, those guys can't do anything. They're just here to like, I don't know what they're here to do, unless you're Tracy Smothers, which would be a goddamn delight.
You're just there to pump up the crowd at that point.
We saw Tracy Smothers in an armory a few years ago. Basically, I don't go to regional wrestling unless Chucky T is there. So we saw Chucky T at an armory a couple of years ago, and Tracy Smothers was there. Tracy Smothers came out, and apropos of nothing, said, "If I hear one USA chant, all of you are gonna die." We're all gonna die. Amazing. So this time he comes out, and again, apropos of nothing, he's like, Shad's in the ring. Shad, again, the biggest human being you've ever seen in your life, dripping charisma. And he's like, I challenge you to a dance-off, which is immediately hilarious. He then does, like, basically your grandpa trying to dance, which is great. No, he goes, I challenge you, I'm sorry, I missed the most important thing. I challenge you to a dance-off. To the death! Wait, and look, I don't want to spoil this move, but he did his dance, and then he like plays Shad's music, and Shad started to dance, immediately poked him in the eyes. That's a fucking heel, fellas. That's a goddamn heel.
That's beautiful.
I'm gonna like, dude, Tracy's mother, I feel like when Shaq was supposed to be retiring, we went and saw him because it was like we might never see Shaq play, and he's supposed to be retiring. He played like 3 more years, neither here nor there. Man, you got to see Tracy Smothers in your life. It's a goddamn delight.
Yeah, I saw him back in his ECW days. He would always do the dance off with the blue meanie. It was pretty great.
I don't think it's because I remember Tracy Smothers as like he was some sort of like Southern, not what he was in his WWE, because he was the same thing. It was like the Southern Boys or whatever,
right?
But I think it was the same tag team. But Tracy Smothers and Tommy Rich, who was an ECW, weird ECW guy too. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think he was in the FBI, right?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, so those guys to me are just like Memphis regional wrestlers because they were. So it's super weird whenever I see that ECW stuff. It's like, man, Tracy Smothers like is not Italian. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, that was the gag. Him and Tommy Rich, and oh man, Tommy Rich would cut great promos. You couldn't understand anything he was saying, but it just sounded so great.
My grandmother had this awesome. It's lost to time, guys. We should all pour one out for my grandmother's photo book that had like all these great like 4x6s, including Terry Boulder, not Hulk Hogan. No shit.
Nice.
Love that thing. When she died, somehow who knows? But she had like a big one, like an 8x10 of Tommy Rich, and it was so like, because what would happen is it's like now you go to the merch table, right? But no one could afford to print shirts, so all they had was like 4x6s of themselves, usually standing like right, like whatever's behind them, like the door behind them. But it is an earlier bunch of 4x6s, right? So like all these old ladies had these photo books of 4x6s of old-timey wrestlers, which I wish I had. And, like, it's one of the greatest regrets of my life. She had two of them. But this one was, like, a big one. It's like Tommy Rich was doing good, so he had 8x10s. Like, he signed an 8x10. And he was NWA Rookie of the Year. But I only recognized WWE, WCW, and Memphis Wrestling So, like, I could never understand why he had this Rookie of the Year trophy until, like, literally I was, like, 18 years old. It was years before I was like, oh, in a different federation. I got you. So, I, like, never, like, whenever Tommy Rich showed up, I was like, that bullshit fucking trophy. you're not getting over here, Wildfire Tommy Rich.
That's right, Wildfire, that's right. Oh, man.
All right, hey, let's not dwell on the sadness of both Rikishi Fatu in a ring or Ric Flair's situation. Let's talk about these goddamn pay-per-views.
All right. Well, we're going to start with NXT, so let's go for that in no particular order. So this is NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. First,
is anyone, like, stoked about this NXT show?
Stoked, no. You guys stoked?
Can you remember? Is anyone, like, stoked?
I've spent the past 3 weeks watching the G1 from New Japan, so I feel like nothing holds a candle to this.
Yeah, I know. You're fucked. let me just do real fast. The last one had, the last NXT match had a UK title. It had Asuka in a three-way. It had Hideo Itami versus Bobby Roode. It had DIY versus the Authors of Pain. And Roderick Strong basically debuting, right? That's not a very good pay-per-view. But there's some things to kind of, like, maybe this is the one Asuka loses. The British guy, Tyler Bate Beater, like, Mustache Mountain's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I hate Bobby Roode. I think he's a good mid-card champion. We've said this before. But, like, the last one, like, was kind of the first one that wasn't any good.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Rude's I don't know. I'm not feeling Roode anymore.
I'm bored. He would not be over if his theme song wasn't that catchy.
Yeah. So the one before had Asuka in her first match with Ember Moon, the first match. Mm-hmm. It had Bobby Roode's second title defense against Shinsuke. Mm-hmm. It had that three-way. This three-way alone, I think, was like, who gives a shit? Like, we see Shinsuke for sure. Asuka gets to wrestle somebody who's actually worth her time. And we get to see the Revival versus DIY and the Authors of Pain. That's a good fucking match. Mm. And I think Aleister Black debuted. I think he debuted. Like, that's a good pay-per-view. I don't love it. I was super fucking mad that Shinsuke lost. And I talked about this. Like, there's no way Shinsuke loses. And I was wrong as fucking shit. but I'm just saying, those are the last two. This one's fucking shitty. I don't mean shitty. But if I didn't see this, I wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah, I feel the same way, but there's probably going to be title changes, right, everybody? Maybe not.
Okay, well, at least it'll be on TV.
Well, how do you feel? We're going to start with Johnny Gargano and Andre Cien Almas.
I think that's going to be a dope match. I'm super stoked that Johnny Gargano is getting the ring again. Cien, who on Wikipedia has dropped the Cien, baby, has a valet for no reason. Okay. This is one of the best wrestlers in the world, but, you know, whatever. I haven't put a fedora and suspenders on. But no, I think that's going to be a good match. I think, like, technically, it's going to be as good as a match as generic WWE house style will allow.
Yeah. So who? Joe?
I love Gargano, I love him. I think he's great.
You picking Gargano?
I gotta call it. No, I'm gonna say Ciampa, who I know is hurt, shows up somehow and ruins it. Just so, because WWE can't let a story die, and this match has no story.
Right.
So they have to insert story into it somehow. And I know CN is CN like chomping at somebody too. Like, does he have some sort of side gimmick? Oni Lorcan? I don't know. I feel like someone's going to show up and it'll be a weird, dumb match.
His thing was that he liked to party more than he liked wrestling at one point, and then something about the valet was like making him wrestle more or something.
Yeah, something weird like that.
Like, he was like, I just want to hang out and get lit, and the valet was like, no, wrestle. And
the fact that we're not even sure isn't good.
like you said, though, I'm totally on the side of Tommaso Ciampa's
show. That is the co-founder of the Los Ingobernables, but no big deal, right? Don't worry about that. Don't worry about him and, like, maybe the fourth best wrestler in the world started the second most popular faction in the world. Whatever, it's cool. Let's have him wrestle Johnny G, though. At least that would be a good match. At least he's not being wasted, which I think leads into the next match. Like, at least, like, neither one of those guys are being wasted. They're on a pay-per-view, which they should be, because they're immense talents, in my opinion. Poor Johnny G is, like, 4'6". But a powerful 4'6". A charismatic 4'6". But, like, you know, like, it's like, buddy, you're so good. 205 Live is going to ruin you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I agree, and Andrade almost. That's who I'm picking. Even if Ciampa doesn't come out, then I think he'll just cheat the win.
Yeah, I think it's fair. They just are the ballet will finally be meaningful.
Yeah.
I'm going to just follow the crowd because I don't know anything about either of these two guys. So I'm going to go with the guy with the nickname that's been recently removed from Wikipedia.
There you go. I'll never let it die. All right.
Never let it die.
Always remember. Aleister Black versus Hideo Itami. This one could be good. Probably won't be.
So my present place. Because look, Asuka's the best thing in NXT, but it's gone on too long. Like, NXT is supposed to be, it's like you can't have someone that good in your minor league if you're a pro baseball team, because you'd be fucking stupid, right? Like, hey, we have this guy batting 700 who hits a home run every second at bat. Yeah, bring him up, dumb shit. Like, what's wrong with you? You fucking idiot. So, like, Asuka is handily the best thing in NXT, and just like Bayley, we will all have to quickly recall these beautiful times when Asuka was treated the way she should have been treated. So Asuka's gone on too long, so she's not the best thing. The best thing now, and I know you're thinking I'm going to say Aleister Black, but I'm not. He's the third best thing. The second best thing is Heavy Machinery.
Yes, I agree.
There's a question about that.
My God.
Who are not on this pay-per-view, who are goddamn delights. They're goddamn sweet, perfect delights. They're the only joy I get on NXT right now. And then the third best thing is Aleister Black, who I think they are handling unbelievably well. If that guy, he's the one guy sort of on... The way he is right now is what they wish Roderick Strong was.
Yeah.
Because I think Aleister Black can beat not just anyone in NXT. I think he can beat anyone on either show. I think he looks great. I think he moves great. He's got a good gimmick that they don't oversell. Cough, cough, Bray Wyatt. Cough, cough, Finn Balor. They're handling that guy perfectly. He just had 2 A+ matches with former Ring of Honor tag team champs. He looks great. He moves great. The kick is great. The worst thing about this match is that Hideo Itami has been, for the majority of his life, the literal best wrestler in the world. And, like, now he's going to... I mean, maybe he wins. Who gives a shit? Like, if he could win this match, he's lost so many times, it doesn't matter. He's in that same spot, Bray. It's like, wow, you're amazing, right? Yeah, I'm super good. Have you ever won... not without Finn Balor's help. All right, well, cool. Nice shorts.
Yeah, nah, it's tough. I think I'm gonna take Hideo, but I'd rather Alice. Yeah, I'd rather.
Yeah, I think they're gonna give it to Hideo, but I just think, what does it matter?
Right.
What does he get? Hideo gets nothing from it, and Aleister Black being Hideo gets nothing from it. Like, this is the hope. The hope is these guys go out and put, and just like, let's do like one of those good matches that NXT does sometimes with like Sammy and anybody.
Yeah.
Sammy and Shinsuke. Like, go out there, or like Kevin Owens and Finn and Neville. Like, I don't even like Neville, but that's a great match, right? Like, maybe they'll go out there and at least just have like the kind of match that Hideo really should be having. But I think Itami wins.
Okay.
Just because he needs it so bad.
As a guy currently in an Aleister Black shirt, I'm going to say Aleister Black.
What is it say on it? What's the slogan?
It doesn't have any words on it.
Fade to black.
No, it says Aleister Black on top in like kind of runish. And then it's got what Cliff referred to as the heart of the cards. And then there's some candles. And then there's like the Satanic cross / the King Diamond cross in the logo.
Did you say the... heart? What is that again?
The heart of the cards from Yu-Gi-Oh.
It looks like the thing.
I don't get that reference. All right, cool.
Okay. It's for little kids. They'll understand.
Yeah. Okay. But they do know Yu-Gi-Oh. They're like Ice Dragon or whatever. I don't know what they're saying. Blue Ice Dragon.
There you go. There you go. There's that street cred. You got it.
Yeah, I'm cool with the kids.
All right, moving on.
Well, I didn't get a pick.
Well, pick somebody.
I'm picking Itami because I've heard his name before.
There you go. All right, moving forward, we got the Authors of Pain versus Sanity.
Let me just interject real quick, because also Aleister Black has fucking really good intro music, right?
Yeah.
I feel like WWE has tried to do the Rage Against the Machine intro music before. Cough, cough. WWE Attitude Era, cough, cough entirely. But they did it with Aleister Black, and it's great. And I just call it because I thought maybe they'd be really funny. But the whole no man is truly good, no man is truly evil. I do the things you never could, and we won't ever be equal. It's kind of badass, right?
Yeah, he's amazing. That's why I'm so worried.
I'm not good and I'm not bad, but I'll kill you.
I saw the band that did the theme song like a couple weeks ago. They did not play it. I was kind of disappointed.
Aww.
Even if they had done it as like an inside joke.
All right, that explains why it's probably good. I figured it was like, because CFO dollar sign, like that dude like used up all of his good songs early, and now he's like trying, like they're all bad. And I was like, man, he got a hot one, but it wasn't him.
Yeah, so. No, that was a band called Incendiary out of Long Island.
Well, next time you see him, you should be like, guys, you should play that one.
I will.
It's what they call a banger. It's what the kids call a banger.
Authors of Pain versus Sanity.
I'm there's no way Sanity wins, but I know like the biggest Eric Young mark in the world is in that room.
That's true.
So Sanity wins.
Yay!
Sanity wins. I love Damo too. I love Damo. I think Damo is a delight also.
I can't call him Killian Dane. I can't do it.
No, but that's a good name though. That is a good. Damo is so good. And it's too bad because Killian Dane is a good name.
Yeah.
Like it's a good name, but it's Damo to me. And, like I love Damo. Damo looks great. He's the only person who's allowed to do the one wing angel that's not KO, mm-hmm. in my opinion, because he looks like a big dude doing it. But every time I see them, and it's going to be the same thing with Authors of Pain. Authors of Pain are going to be the Ascension 2.0 whenever they bring them up. You're like, look how big those guys are. And then you see him stand next to Dolph Ziggler, and you're like, oh. They're not that big. And that's how I felt about Damo when he was in that Battle Royal last year. This year.
Right.
Not that big. Not that big when you're next to the big dude. Aw.
I just wanted this to be Heavy Machinery versus Authors of Pain. That's all I want.
NXT, if you want me to get stoked about this pay-per-view, and it's too late. No, it's not. It's not too late. NXT, I know you're listening to Caves and Cows. Let's go ahead and make it a three-way. It worked two shows ago. Give me that three-way. Put Heavy Machinery in there, and we'll just have a big old hoss fight.
They look like lumberjacks.
Who? Which one?
Heavy Machinery.
Heavy Machinery legit look like guys who drive trucks. Like, they look like they're at the all-you-can-eat buffet at the fucking Camel Stop gas station. They're the guys who take showers at gas stations. That's what they look like. But like the thing that's so great is like not that they have that look, that million-dollar look I just described. It's not that. And it's not that they're big old hosses. It's that they look like they're really happy to be out there, which I like. I like that they have this really nostalgic throwback, like shared gimmick that doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? Like, they're Heavy Machinery. What's that? That's, you know, like a tractor. What does that mean? Who gives a shit? They look great. They look like they're having fun, and they do a lot of fat guy combo moves. God damn it. I love them so much.
If they ever get a submission, and they don't call it the tractor pull, I'm going to be so disappointed.
That's a good one. By the way, they gotta take the belt off Authors of Pain at some point. And they fucked up this narrative, but a couple weeks ago, Alexander Wolf said Eric Young has a plan. And I feel like they should do that this weekend and really put Eric Young... Sorry, Tim.
It's okay.
Eric Young, these guys have no shtick. They're just weird. Like, Nikki Cross's shtick is she will fight anyone and she's crazy. And I will fight anyone because at the house show, she will try to fight men, which is great.
Yes.
But like... Eric Young is like has no. He's the leader of this team, but it means nothing. Like Killian Dane's big. That's all he needs to do. He needs to be big, and he does a sit. Awesome. But like if they put Eric Young, in like position to be like some sort of crazy mastermind, like he needs to. Like Eric Young is good, and he's good on the mic. But it's time that he's shook because just coming out and looking weird with like a fucking bandana on your face, like that's not a gimmick, guys.
I think they should have him kidnap William Regal.
The problem with that is that it's not believable that William Regal can't kill anybody.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's like, you make it like Nikki Cross is in the room with him, and he's just like, I will not fight you, and she's like, I will bite your face off.
I think William Regal is like the Liam Neeson of the WWE in my head.
He really is. I agree with that.
They did some bit, I can't remember who it was, it might have been Authors of Pain, and they're kind of like, there's like a back, it's like a backstage, they have names, but I just blanked on them.
Razor.
One of those guys, and they're like, there's a bit where they're like, threatening Regal, but not directly, and he's like, what the fuck, like, everything about his body was like, no, you don't want to do that. That's fucking dumb. I love William Regal. I think William Regal, I don't want to tangent. I think he's, whenever they do like the top 50 whatever, I think William Regal should be on there because I think he's another one of those guys. I mean, his drinking ruined his career, but I think he was flawless. His run as the big bad on ECW was one of the best villain runs of all time. Yeah. Like, he put everybody over. He never, ever looked bad. He was legitimately scary. He's one of the best talkers of all time, period. Like, someone put out, he bitched about it. Like, WWE put out, like, the top 25, top 50 talkers of all time, and he wasn't on the list. But, man, I don't know what that list is, but Regal could cut a promo like no one's business. He does casual backstage vignettes like no one's business. He's flawless. He's a flawless wrestler.
Yeah, I remember watching him put over Ultimo Dragon, who's so much smaller than him, and that match was one of the best matches I think I've ever seen.
Before he was drinking, like, really, like, before he got to WWE, like, right before he was tagging with, they made him tag with,
Goldust?
No, in WCW, the other British guy. They're like, oh, we have two British
Dave
guys.
Dave Taylor,
like, we should put these two British guys together, stat. But even Dave Taylor was great. But those guys just lost to everybody all the time. William Regal's so good. And just the older he got, the better he got. Just tighter and every move, like, so efficient. I think he's one of the best. I think he's legitimately one of the best of all time. And I bet I could look at the WWE Hall of Fame and there's, like, a bunch of guys I wouldn't put in there. Like, I would not put over William Regal all time.
Absolutely.
Do you have a problem with Coco Beware?
Coco Beware also is a Memphis wrestling regional boy. I was really surprised they gave him a bird. It only made me love him more, you know? Coco Beware was like, I don't... This is probably not true, but he's the only African-American wrestler I remember that wasn't Abdullah the Butcher, who was not a guy. He would just show up every now and then, because that's what he did. But Abdullah the Butcher just drove around and stuck people with forks. But I think Coco Beware is like the only African American I can remember from Memphis wrestling. So I think I loved him. He was one of my guys. Like, there's a list of, like, they're when Kurt Hennig came up, it was like I lost my shit because that was my guy. But he wasn't Mr. Perfect here. He was just Kurt Hennig. He was just generic ass Kurt Hennig. But he's like, he was the first one I thought. I man, love Mr. Perfect because I loved Kurt Hennig. Always have a soft spot for Jeff Jarrett. His dad owned Memphis wrestling, and his early heel run stuff at TNA. I know, like, an easy guy to shit on, but his heel stuff's always been good. He's just always been put in positions he never should have been put into.
Like good housekeeping matches.
If Doug Mantel ever shows up on anything, I'd mark out a little bit. Even now that he's like a bajillion years old. Rock and Roll Express. Love the Rock and Roll Express. See those guys at Lexington Comic Con every year. They don't look happy. Aaron, I don't know. Someone who's sitting on top, I shouldn't make fun, but we'll save the hair joke for Baron Corbin match later.
Yes. Yes, you keep those in your pocket. So you're taking Sanity in this match.
Just for you, though.
I appreciate that. I don't really care who wins this match. I almost feel like I'd rather Sanity wins so that they can give it to, like, Heavy Machinery, because I feel like Sanity's time in NXT is probably almost over. They should all get called up as a group.
No, I think Eric Young, they're going to try to push Eric Young to be a guy once they move Bobby Roode up too early to be wasted. And I don't think it'll be wasted. I think Bobby Roode will be really great as whatever show Miz is on. Whatever show Miz isn't on, the other show's Miz. I think he'll be real good in that role.
Yeah, that's true.
poor man's Bobby, poor man's The Miz, Bobby Roode. I think they want to put Sandy in a position to sort of be like, sort of what the Wyatt family should have been for NXT. That's what they should do, because I think those guys are all good. But Alexander Wolfe is not a main event. He's not a big roster guy. Damo, I just think he'll live so small, but maybe at some point. I just think they're made, like, they're so set for NXT. And those guys can do the same thing that Samoa Joe did. Is that really, like, make other people look good and give a legitimate, like, big bad. Like, show's need big bad. Bobby Roode's not a big bad. He's not doing it.
Right.
The show doesn't have a big bad right now. And without like, a real bad, like, even Arthur and Payne aren't bad. They don't do anything bad. The literally the only scary bad person on NXT is Tommaso Ciampa. And he's that game in Russell.
Yeah. Yeah, that's unfortunate, the timing of that.
They need to take the belts off of Authors of Pain just because they've had it for too long and done nothing with it. And I believe, again, you guys might know better than me, I think TM61 should be coming back soon.
Yeah, they've been gone. They've been gone a little
almost
bit now.
Almost a year, it feels like.
You got Reed Dragon sitting right there.
Oh, that would be great.
Red Dragon?
Yeah. Red Dragon? I don't know.
It's
don't
Red Dragon.
I the last time I saw Kyle O'Reilly in a tag team match was with Adam Cole when he debuted, which was like a million years ago. And I was like, man, that redhead kid's good. And then like a couple years ago, like Adam Cole was like the biggest thing on the Indies. I'm like, no, that redheaded kid was good. That other guy seems kind of generic to me. Wrong on that one, Stark.
Speaking of Adam Cole, it's been reported that he was signed with NXT.
What if he debuts and makes this pay-per-view worth watching?
That would be great.
I just want him to just sit in the crowd and then just stick his hands up in the air and have the whole crowd just yell, Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole, baby! Here's what's going to happen. You're going to hear that sweet, sweet No Way Jose music pop. What? No Way Jose is coming out, guys. Conga line. No way Jose. Oh, I love that guy. Oh, he's going to find Adam Cole. That was cool. We see Adam Cole, right?
That would be great.
Ooh, you know what they should do? I'm gonna fix the show right now. We talked so long about these shitty shows. We have like 13 other matches to talk about still. I'm gonna fix the show.
Okay.
We're gonna keep main event Bobby Roode versus Drew McIntyre, though I think it should be a three-way with Cassius Ohno of three guys that are all perfectly fine but not that great. But that main event's more interesting, right? Because it's a three-way.
Right.
The match before the main event is Roderick Strong versus Adam Cole.
I would love that.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. No one cares about the tag match. It's miserable. Does Asuka finally lose? Let's go through it quick. Does Asuka finally lose?
I say no.
I say no, too.
I want Asuka to get called up to the main roster with the belt. Kind of. Isn't that what they did with KO?
They did that with Paige, too.
Yeah, I think I'd rather that. And then she can lose shortly after.
Nice. And they should do it. What they should do is they should do it like... They should find a way to do it where like she has to have two shows in a row like this.
Yeah, that would be great.
And she's just too tired.
Yeah. But who would you want her to lose it to?
I think the thing is, it doesn't matter. This is what wrestling's biggest fucking problem is right now. It doesn't matter who you lose it to. It matters the way in which you lose. Like, if there's a narrative, if you go, fuck, she just had two fatal four-way matches in a row. One against all the girls, against the Iconic Duo, perfect, beautiful, amazing, sweet, sweet, hasn't been on TV in far too long, magnificent Iconic Duo, and Mandy Rose, who also, sweet, hasn't been on TV in so long, I don't care, that's fucking Heidi Lovelace, I don't give a shit, but if you set up a way that's like, it's not that she, oh boy, they beat her, it's like, oh, she lost, and you have the other ones overcome something in the way, which is why it's always best to do these sort of fatal four-ways or whatever. Because Heidi Lovelace, not like, oh, Asuka didn't get pinned, but Heidi Lovelace had to beat three people to win. That's great. So, like, that's kind of the best way to do it. You have to do it like Asuka's just worn out. But Asuka hasn't been wrestling at all. And, like, they're just wasted. She's just being wasted right now. They're going to call her up. She's going to be wasted there because there's no way they Goldberg her on the main event. Because this shit they do with Charlotte. I take it back. They've already done it with Charlotte. So what am I talking about? But can you just see? So Monday night, which is Sasha versus Nia Jax, literally every week, and Alexa Bliss maybe shows up every now and then. But could you imagine them all losing every week. And that one match, there's one women's match a week, and they all lose week after week after week. It's tough to imagine. Asuka should show up and be on both shows and just kick the fuck out of everybody. In fact, I think Asuka should beat, like the Mistourage. Like, her debut should be beating the Mistourage.
That would be awesome.
In fact, here's how I would debut her, because I think we talked about this. Like, there's always that, you know, when you get towards the end of the Royal Rumble, and you're like, oh man, you know what, there hasn't been that big, like, comeback, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Asuka music. Drop, like, you play Asuka's music, you turn the lights off, you drop some confetti, you put that fucking spotlight on her with her creepy-ass mask, have her do the whole fucking thing all the way down, and then just kick dudes in the fucking chin for 3 minutes, eliminate two guys, and then... Don't even eliminate her. Like, just have someone punch her so hard they have to take her out of the match. That's it. She's so fucking over.
The Big Show gives her the punch.
Yeah, have the Big Show punch her. That's right. And or not even Big Show. Fuck that guy. Have Braun do it. Have Braun be the one to take Asuka out. Have Roman do it, and then he'll finally be a heel that we all want him to be.
Oh man, the Superman punch that took out Asuka.
Did Roman just punch Asuka? Like, perfect, beautiful Asuka. Yeah, I think she doesn't lose either, but I'm kind of ready for her to move out.
Yeah, she definitely needs to. Joe, what do you think?
In fact, hold on. Let me throw a wrench. I believe, and I know tonight will change, but I believe right now we don't know who Alexa Bliss will be defending against.
Yeah, we'll find out tonight on Raw as of this recording, so we will know.
Maybe it'll be Asuka.
That would be amazing. I don't think they're that smart, though.
No, I don't think so either. Brian Ward is on smart. Raw, though. That's why Raw is good now and SmackDown sucks.
Yeah, it's weird that happened.
Yeah. Right, sorry to interrupt for the millionth time.
Joe, so I'm gonna say Ember Moon, just because I think that she needs like that little... She needs that accomplishment to make herself like a more serious... Because yeah. She was like a weird... She had like a weird gimmick of almost like... She's like, I'm a werewolf. But in the daylight, like, I'm Bailey. It was a very strange mix there.
Yeah. She's like, I'm a werewolf. And I was like, let her be a werewolf. But at some point, they're like, I don't think people are buying this werewolf thing. We should make her look bad. Guys, you don't know how to write characters.
Does she dress like the wolf chick from Glow?
No, but she should. She did have a fur-trimmed hoodie, which is as close as you get in WWE.
And red contacts.
Just being wild. Those contacts. I hate when people wear those contacts. Because I wore contacts for years, and they weren't comfortable. And if I ever lost, like, they'd fold up in your eye. And I was like, that sucked when I was just, like, smoking a cigarette back then. Oh, it's rolled up in my... I went to a Pearl Jam concert once, and it happened. And that concert sucked because of that. And I'm not doing, like, fucking power slams or, like, moonsaults. Come on.
Wait, you weren't doing that at the Pearl Jam concert.
That concert was not very good. And I thought it was going to be great, guys.
It wasn't good. Was it not good because you weren't doing moonsaults? Or just because it wasn't good?
No, it wasn't very good. Like, you know, if you're like, man, because I like Pearl Jam. I'm not going to lie, guys. I'm not too proud to mention these things. I'm not ashamed of my Pearl Jam affinity. I'm a young man of the 90s. I wore flannel and had hair to my shoulders. If you ever like, yeah, I'd love to see Pearl Jam. Now, I'm going to tell you, when people come to Indiana, sometimes they don't try so hard, and you can't blame them. maybe that's the case. But basically, every song sounded just like it did on any record, and like, that's not a good show, dude. I listened to the records already.
But like,
I'd like to have like some performance happening.
Unless you're seeing like the Grateful Dead, I feel like that's like the most you can ask for. Like, if the Grateful Dead played to the record, then I'd have a problem with it. But like,
you want dudes to like, here's a little bit of different, like, we're putting a little extra oomph in the guitar on this one. Here's some different variation. You don't want just the record. You want them to you want to see the artistry. It's just like wrestling. Look, you don't want to see the exact same U-Porn Plex every night. You want to see, like... once you guys put their own spin on it, right?
How did Chuck E. T. take that suplex?
First of all, I'm disgusted that he did it. he took it great. That match was so hot. Joey Ryan versus Chucky T in Owensboro was very good. Those guys did not try very hard. Again, basically Southern Indiana. Kentucky and Indiana are basically the same unless you're like Louisville or Lexington. They're like, you're not going to try that hard. Those two dudes were great. The crowd was super dead because they just wanted to see like their regional guys because they're a bunch of fucking... Literally, whenever a wrestler from here on out goes, you fucking unappreciative redneck, I'm just going to go, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've been there. They put on a great show. Chucky T was great. They were very funny. He took the U-Porn Plex, which I was pretty surprised because it was supposed to be like a PG-13 PG show. But after he took the U-Porn Plex, Joey Ryan put his fucking crotch lollipop in his mouth, and that was the most... I was like, oh. Also, this PG-13 show brought in Joey Ryan to do a U-Porn Plex, and yeah. They brought in Rikishi to put his naked butt on someone's face. Guys?
Maybe they thought he'd be the Sultan.
Jesus, guys. Those are not PG moves. I saw Rikishi's fucking 56-year-old ass. Alright, Ember Moon, maybe, right? That's what we're going with?
I'm going to go with Asuka, because I've heard of her before.
I like your good reason.
This next one's Bobby Roode versus Drew McIntyre. Just real quick, have you heard one of those guys?
Yes. It's a mystery as to which one.
here's my thing real quick. Let's not talk. I think Drew McIntyre has like done great stuff with his career since he left. I think like he looked on the indies. Like I watched some, what is it, ICW, when he was in the British wrestling? I think it's ICW.
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, and he looks great. Like, he's so much bigger. I thought the little TNA that I watched when for a minute I could watch it, when he was feuding with, like, Bobby Lashley and EC3, looks great, man. Like, big guys look great. He does this thing where he can be really fucking intimidating. I don't give a shit about this match. This match is like a room temperature glass of milk. who wins? No one wins in this match. Neither one of these guys, like... Drew McIntyre, he should have done, like, if Cody Rhodes is making three times what he was making in WWE, Drew McIntyre should hit the road again. Because he looks great out there, and it's just like him and KO. I think KO is great. I just don't give a shit, because they're not writing anything with them. They're not doing anything with them.
Here's the thing about the Cody Rhodes thing, though. I feel like that's exclusively the Bullet Club merch deal that's netting him that kind of money.
That's very possible. But, you know, I got an insider, fellas. So like Rikishi's here, and my dude who's with me, who's like a casual wrestling fan, like he definitely went Facebook Live for the U-Porn Plex, like you fucking Mark, this goddamn fucking dick move Mark over here, and he's like, how much do you think Rikishi got paid to come here? And I was like, oh man, more than too much. And he didn't even wrestle, like he didn't wrestle, right? So I texted my friend who knows some indie wrestlers, and I was like, how much do you think Rikishi got paid to be here? And they said like $500 plus, you know, like hotel and travel. First of all, I bet that's what probably Chucky T got, right?
Yeah.
Like, Chucky T's getting $500. And look, like, if you do three shows a week, you're making $1,500 a week. Maybe it's under the table if you're lucky. Like that's a good life.
Plus travel's like, included.
And travel, they're paying for that. They're paying for that travel. You're just showing up, and you're showing up, not even wrestling. So those guys between Joey and Chuck, I bet they did. I mean, mine is just like, oh, an arm drag, right? Like that. But I mean, like, I bet they did like eight moves between them. Like, you're not really doing anything. You know what I mean? Like, $500 you can do three times a week, making $1,500 a week. That's a good week.
That's insane.
You're not married. Yeah, but here's the, like, so Rikishi's got to be making more than that. And so I was like, well, like, Cody wasn't making $1 million for sure. I mean, do you think he was making $250?
I'd say in that neighborhood in WWE.
Yeah.
Like lower mid card.
I bet that he's in that neighborhood. But I bet, you know what? Since he's in the Bullet Club, he's making 1,000 appearances. So if he does it three times a week, he's making $3,000 a week. I mean, like, that's pretty good. And that's not even counting. Like, New Japan probably has some sort of, like, pay per view appearance thing. Ring of Honor probably does. Because usually when you show up on a show like that, you get more. And I would bet New Japan and Ring of Honor pay more than fucking, you know, Indiana Wrestling Association or whatever, who are going to pop $1,000 for you just to show up.
Yeah.
I believe it, man. I think there's more money. And Drew McIntyre was traveling back and forth. You think if you're traveling back and forth to go do PWG, same. I bet PWG pays pretty fucking good. I mean, that stuff all adds up. And you know, Cody never had merch sales. You know, he never got that shit. He never got that shit. Maybe those masks. So it's like, I believe it. So like, you're Drew McIntyre. I bet he was making more before. I bet he could make more being champ in like six different places. I could be wrong. I'm just saying, like, I just feel like this is like another example that NXT is so fucking boring right now. That I don't care about anybody except for two fat guys and a guy who I think is maybe a zombie.
He's Satan.
Kick fucking Dracula. Kick Dracula. That's the only guy I care about. Kick Dracula and fat guys.
See, I've been stuck in like Renaissance era stuff this entire past like couple of months. So like everything that that like Aleister Black says is just something that John Milton made Satan say, so I'm just like, every time he talks, I'm just like, there he goes, like.
A plus.
Yeah.
I can get behind that, right?
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
What?
That he's, like, literally quoting Milton?
He's not, like, I think he's quoted it once or twice in a promo, but, like, he's teetering on the same, like, philosophical stance that Satan has in, like, Paradise Lost.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. And now I like him even more.
All right.
If they, for shit like that, they should do like a VH1 pop-up video. Like, it's just like, whoop, like, this is from Milton Paradise. Oh, shit. I'm not going to hype about that.
That's a million-dollar YouTube idea right there. Put pop-up wrestling matches.
I like it. They should bring it back.
Absolutely. All right, so...
Yeah, Colin, I think Bobby Roode wins. I just don't give a shit.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that. Joe, what do you think? Rude?
I just don't care.
God. Yeah, this is sad.
I'm honestly going to turn this off probably when this match starts, in all honesty.
Wow.
Yeah.
But this is when bad? Somebody could come in. This could be the Adam Cole, no, baby. No.
But, no, then, no, but then I'll no, go on Reddit, Roderick, and someone will make it into a streamable video.
Roderick Strong is definitely showing up in that match. And, like Roderick Strong, who's, like, maybe, you know, I know I said Roderick Strong might be like the epitome of NXT right now. That guy is such a good wrestler, but goddamn boring. So goddamn boring. And then being like, but he loves his wife doesn't make me go, well, I can get behind that. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing you can do besides like maybe do some writing. Like, you gotta make me like these characters. You can't be like, you can't do a vignette at the beginning of shit. Well, no, you could, actually, but I'm...
Aren't they doing that with Mike and Maria Kanellis right now? They're just in love.
Hold that thought. Yeah, exactly, yes. If you did a vignette where it's like, here's Roderick Strong, like, saving a box of kittens in the parking lot of NXT, what a good guy. Now, the thing is, I say that, and now I think it's kind of brilliant. It's like every week, Roderick Strong was doing, like, curiously, like, saturated, like, nice things, like helping old ladies watch, like welcome to the show, Grandma Smith. I hear the bag of apples. Like, what the fuck? Roderick Strong came out a bag of apples. Like, there's shit you can do to get that dude over, but, like, just being like, he likes his family, it shows you how bad WWE is with the relationships, because they don't understand, like, yeah, most people in families do.
it's like, wow, he's committed to his family. It's just, God, like that's not a thing that's happened, it's like, everywhere. Yeah.
Can you believe that his brand new dad loves his baby? Isn't that the nicest thing you've ever seen? Woof, guys, woof.
Cliff, who's the one guy you know in this match?
I've heard of Bobby Roode before.
All right, you're picking him?
Yes.
That's probably correct.
Oh, boy.
All right, well, we're going to...
Remember when NXT was the best WWE thing?
Yes, I do. It was so great.
The golden days.
Yeah.
And now it's Superstar.
The golden years.
Well,
all right, let's jump to this other one. Then I said a bunch of bad shit about TakeOver. the last time we had this was WrestleMania, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I said a ton of bad stuff about that. In fact, I think I made it pretty clear. For somebody who can talk like 3 hours about it, fuck that show. But I'm going to tell you, there's a couple things on this SummerSlam I'm kind of into.
Yeah, SummerSlam's looking good.
Not a bunch.
Well, before we get to that, we're going to cut this off. This is actually going to be the end of this episode, and we're going to go and start another episode for SummerSlam Kyle, is there anything you want to plug before we go?
Yeah, man. I'm doing 1,700 comic books. If you go to your comic book store and ask for Kyle Stark, they'll have at least three things. I have Rock Candy Mountain from Image, which is super dope, coming out right now. We're on hiatus until November.
It is
dope. Rick and Morty every week. Yes, that Rick and Morty. That's me. The Rick and Morty comic book franchise, Kyle Stark. If you like the show, you'll like the comic. It's very good. I'm currently doing for Oni Press, Dead of Winter, which is based on the very popular tabletop board game, which I played with these guys every single dude there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
We all play Dead of Winter together. It's very popular. It's got a dog that fights zombies, A+. In September, I have Killed Them All coming out from Oni Press in full color, and it's super dope. Follow me at That's How It Starts on all social medias.
All right. Awesome. Oh, and tell them your wrestling Twitter.
Oh, it's at The Kyle Smart, which makes more sense, but that's because I don't want to put people off. Not everyone wants to hear about wrestling stuff. I've learned my lesson. No one follows that one, though, so it's like...
Well, I follow it. I follow it.
Yeah, but we're nobody.
I had three beers that were like... I had, like, Kelly Sue DeConnick and Matt Rosenberg and, like, Chip Zdarsky were all like, yeah, man, don't talk about wrestling here if you can avoid it. On my Twitter, when I made a joke about it, I was like, well... at Kyle Smart.
Yeah, you know it's bad when Zdarsky's like, you know, you probably shouldn't do the thing.
Yeah, Zdarsky's like, don't make that joke. You're like, really? God.
All right, well, thank you for being on, and we will have you back for SummerSlam.
Nice.